Welcome to the Taking the Lead podcast, where we empower people to be unstoppable. I'm Christina Heppner with my co-hosts Leslie Hoskins and Timothy Cuneo. So we have a debate to settle.
There's no debate here.
There is a debate.
It's very clear.
Because, no, it is very clear on my end, but okay, anyways, if
do everyone, you want me to tell what happened?
Yeah, you're going to tell the backstory. No, you don't have the real story. Anyways.
Yeah, okay.
Timothy, remember last year the Frozen Paw 5K was the first year
Johnny
for it.
Won.
He did not win.
Thank you, Timothy.
He did not win. Last year, I stayed at the finish line and I was looking for him, but then I also was helping because we had Canine Ambassador out there taking pictures and I was just trying to help him be a good team member.
Sure, sure.
And this year...
So what happened was, the real story, Johnny came into the pancake breakfast first.
And jumped in front of me and ran so Leslie would see him first. I beat him, though, and I took a video
that clearly
shows him crossing the finish line after me, and I'm already behind the finish line.
Did she not just say he ran to you first?
Exactly.
No, Leslie. He jumped in front
she
of me.
Said that.
I stated the rules
on the track.
No, because we didn't go in there first. We went, so we have great sponsors for this. Tevra Pet sponsored it this year. And then we did it in downtown Rochester, Michigan. And so Rochester Mills Beer Company is also a sponsor. So some people were there and some people were at the Rochester Firehouse where there was a pancake breakfast. I thought Leslie was going to be in Rochester Mills. So Johnny and I both went there first. After I finished first, he was a few minutes after me. And then we went to the firehouse and we walked in at the same time. And all of a sudden I look over and he is like speeding up because he knows he's like, oh, if Leslie sees me first, and he's taller than me, so he blocked me, she's going to lie.
So for any of our longtime listeners, last year when we had the race, this was the whole debate of who won the race between Johnny and Christina. I saw Johnny first, therefore Johnny won the race. And that's really the end. The finish line was whoever I saw first basically won the race. So then this year I was giving, obviously, Christina a hard time again, saying that Johnny was going to most likely win. And he did because the finish line was whoever I saw first.
No.
And Johnny is who I saw first.
You know what?
And so she's trying, everybody, to show me a video of Johnny finishing the race. And yet there's no proof of her ever crossing the line.
I can show you the timestamps.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you know how to edit things.
Exactly.
Me.
Good point, Timothy. She's in.
You know how to edit.
She's like in on M Motive.
You know what?
She knows how to change things probably.
Yeah. No.
Oh my gosh.
No.
There's a whole conspiracy theory.
You know
here.
What? I want people to email us at takingthelead@leaderdog.org and have my back.
No. Tell us who you think you won.
Did you not tell her? First one to me is the winner.
Johnny. I mean, we've been on this debate. This was about a month ago now, or almost 2 months now.
Yeah, it's been a long debate. And
but
so please let us know your
thoughts. We haven't talked about it on the podcast yet.
Yeah, it still feels fresh in the mind.
Let me get Johnny on here and get his perspective.
That's a great idea,
No, please.
Yeah,
nobody needs to listen to him.
The ultimate goal is that Frozen Paw was a fantastic event. We had such a great time. Honestly, for weather, we got so lucky. It was cold.
Yes.
It was cold, but the sun was shining and it didn't snow.
We had such a great turnout.
It was so fantastic. And like Christina was saying, people were going for the pancake breakfast or going for their first, their
beverage.
Free beer through Rochester Mills. It was just really fun. Everybody was in high spirits.
Yes. And it's always great to like, see everyone in one place.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a great day. I saw the pictures of it on Facebook. It looked a little cold, but I would have been there if I could. But a cold beer after a run like that, is that really?
I don't know. There was a lot of people in that line. I didn't have one, but.
I had to have hot coffee.
I know. That's how I was.
You could get coffee at the pancake breakfast.
Yeah. But it was beverage. So I don't know what else they were serving at Rochester Mills. Because obviously there's kids that ran. It was really cool to just see so many people.
And I've eaten there at that restaurant. It's pretty good, daggum good.
Yeah.
So if you're in that area, go there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We had a fantastic time. So let us know your thoughts. But I mean, obviously, Timothy and I know what really happened. So,
yeah, we did.
All right. But today, you guys, such a great day. We have some fantastic guests. We have more than one. That's right. So we first have a client who has recently been to Leader Dog Campus getting his very first guide dog. But excitingly enough, too, we also have a team member who happened to have been his very first contact with Leader Dog, but then was also a very consistent part of his journey. So it's a fun story to share.
Yes. Kaysana Woods is a New York native whose vision loss was sudden. He was featured on a popular blog called Humans of New York, sharing his story. And that's when our colleague Danielle Theobald reached out to him and ended up assisting him through the application process and working with him as his guide dog mobility instructor.
Kaysan and Danielle, welcome to the podcast. Kaysan, let's talk about your story. What was your life like before the sudden loss of your eyesight?
Well, hey, everyone. Hey, what's up? How's everyone doing?
Good.
I'm happy to be here today. Yes. Thanks for having me. Yes, and before my blindness, my life, I was a bartender for a few years. Bartender, very energetic person. I kind of, protect the older brother. I'm the oldest of seven.
Oh my wow.
Actually, wow. you can say you have 12, you add in my father's also. So yeah, but I'm the oldest, So a lot of responsibility growing up. Then life has changed. Extremely. Yeah, life is a big change. It's a big change. But yes, grew up with a lot of responsibility being the oldest and trying to be a role model the best I can, still got into trouble and things like that. But I'm only human.
Yes.
But yeah, now we're here.
Yes.
What a journey.
So, Kaysani, you've told your story. I don't know if anyone knows about it, but it's a blog called Humans of New York. It's gotten a lot of viewers. It's a Facebook thing, but it's also a blog, and it tells people's unique stories. And I also remember seeing your story and reading about your story. If you mind telling us a little bit about your story that you shared on there and why you decided to share it on Humans of New York.
Yes. So it's actually been 4 years now. 4 years. This month made 4 years since the tragedy, the attack. I was attacked on the New York City subway in Brooklyn, I believe January 15, 2020, just before the pandemic. So my life changed drastically, just like everyone else's. Everyone's life changed kind of drastically, but it was just so crazy to wrap your mind around it. It was crazy. And I told my story to Humans in New York. First of all, I'd never heard of the blog, actually. I never heard of it. It was a friend of mine that told me about it. And I went through this tragic event, and I never told my story at all. It was just being from where I'm from. You go through things, but you don't really talk about things that much. So I kind of had held in this entire time during the pandemic and everything, just going through my day to day and my big ups and downs. And telling my story was just like therapy for me that I didn't know I needed. And everything just came out, just rushed out. And it was actually because of my now ex-fiance who actually knew about the blog and kind of convinced me to, to tell my story. It actually was like a kind of omen kind of thing. She asked me, do I know the blog? And she should write to them. And I'm like, no, I'm not that type of person. I'm good. Then I said, what time it is? And it was happened to be 8:19, which is my birthday. And I just took it as a sign and said, you know what? I'm going to do something different. It's a sign. I'm going to do it. And I told my story.
That's incredible. And so what was the feedback and support that you got from sharing that story?
The feedback was overwhelming and amazing. I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn. So a lot of times it's like a lot of spiciness, a lot of rough. Like everyone's kind of rough around the edges. So sometimes you get that love. It's like you're not expecting it at all. It's real overwhelming. And there's something real special about that because there's nothing in my mind that we could even fathom what was just about to happen with me, what happened to me. I was attacked on the subway station and the attack, I was stabbed in my eye, and which severed my optic nerve. So I was stabbed in my left eye and it severed my optic nerve. And now I can't see out of both eyes. So I was blind immediately that day.
That is a really, really bad story there, Kaysan. I'm sorry that happened to you. And, I mean, you weren't aware that it was going to happen. You didn't wake up that day, and all of a sudden this happens to you.
Yeah.
So, Danielle, how did you find out about Kaysan's story, and what made you want to reach out to him and give him some guidance and direction?
Yeah, so I had been following the Humans of New York blog for a couple of years at that point. the stories that the creator, Brandon, shares is just amazing. And at that time, I had probably been at LeaderDog in my position in client services for about a month. And kind of hearing from our clients the struggle of trying to find resources and support, especially in the beginning, you know, services, orientation and mobility, kind of a basic need and the accessibility for our clients. I mean, everybody has a right to be able to travel safely. And so kind of struggling to find resources, you know, through their community or through the state. Sometimes people don't qualify. The states don't have enough funding. So at LeaderDog, being able to offer free training, flights, room and board to our clients, I thought that everybody deserves to know about this. So at the end, it was a series of posts. At the end of the series, they left an email for Kaysan's friend and was like, if you have any resources available to Kaysan to kind of help him through this, I was like, hey, you know what? They might never see this. I'm sure there's going to be a huge outpouring of support, which is amazing. But I was like, you know what? Just toss LeaderDog out there just in case. Just knowing the struggle that people have trying to find help and support, I just thought that was something that we would be able to help them out with.
That's amazing, Danielle. And Kaysan, when you, you know, received Danielle's message about LeaderDog, you know, what made you reach back out to want to get services at LeaderDog?
Yeah, in the very beginning, it was so many emails. Like, for some reason, LeaderDog, the email from Danielle just locked in. And I don't remember opening the email, but I seen it. I know I seen it. And I'm saying, like, I could use my eyes to see it, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I know this email. And that probably was like 2 years prior. And I seen this email kind of stayed in my head. It's scary how it stayed in my head. Because, you know, you have to go through all the mobility training and you don't just go straight out and get like a guide dog, anything like that. So it was a lot of steps I had to do. And doing all of these steps in with my my OM trainer, Annalyn Courtney, she actually recommended LeaderDog. And when she recommended, I was like, I know that name. She named a couple of other schools, also other programs, but I'm like, I know this name. For some reason, I know it. I'm like, I'm going into my emails because, you know, after a lot of training, I could use my own email now. I could get inside because when the story came out, you know, I couldn't do any of that, none of that. So now that I got a chance to, like, take control of it, I went inside the email and I seen it and I opened it up and I'm like, I'm going to contact. And this is like a year after she reached out. But it stayed on my mind, and it took up to like 2 years for it to happen fully. But it was something about that email that I remembered. Like, I could tell you, like, I seen the email with my eyes. It feels like it just stayed with me.
That's incredible. So not only were you on this journey, but Danielle herself was on a little bit of a different journey with LeaderDog. So Danielle, do you mind telling about your career with LeaderDog? I know you've also had a volunteer pass, but just sharing what happened to you in those couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, by the time I read Kaysan's story, I'd been at LeaderDog for about a month. I and my family have been involved for a couple years before that. In total, we've raised 9 puppies. We've got 9. We have number 9 at home right now. I'm just going to say I did that first. I started it and my family followed in my footsteps. So
we love that.
But yeah, I started in client services, having a puppy raising pass. I always wanted to be involved in our training department. So in December of 2022, I interviewed for our apprentice program, and I have been very lucky and blessed, and I got that position. I've been in this position since about February of 23, and just kind of learning and being involved in the organization in a bunch of different aspects has really made me appreciate the programs and services that we offer and the resources that we're able to provide to clients throughout the world.
So what was that like for you on your end, Danielle, when you heard about Kaysan applying or reaching out to LeaderDog, knowing that you had, you know, started that journey?
It was wild because, like Kaysan had mentioned, it had been a while. So I was like, hey, you know, I'm probably never going to, you know, hear from it. And then he responded and I was like, oh my God, well, perfect. I sent all the application materials. I'm like, please let me know if you have any questions. And then it was a little bit again before I heard from him. And throughout that time, I was like, you know, he's probably, you know, there's lots of services out there. Like maybe he went with another school, whatever, didn't hear from him. And then we got all the application materials, the application, the medical, everything for the video, like all of it, all at once. And that was right before I think I was leaving client services to start in the training department. And it just so happened my very first string, my very first time, you know, working with clients. I had two amazing clients, two amazing dogs that I got to work with in class. But it just so happened that I had thought that we had just such a great match for Kason for his first guide dog. And it was just insane the way that it worked out. It was like kismet almost, like it was wild.
Yeah. So what was that like when you guys first met in person? You know, Kason, Danielle, you guys can both answer this. Danielle, we'll start with you. And then Kason, you can give your reaction after.
Yeah, it felt really strange because especially like working in client services and being in that position to be his contact throughout his application journey, we met and it almost felt like we had known each other. I mean, it was almost a 2-year journey at that point. It felt like we had already known each other and been connected for so long. And then to meet in person, it was kind of a strange feeling to finally put an actual person with this voice that you hear over the phone. It was crazy.
Kason, what was that like for you?
Yeah, it was a real full circle moment. Like everything about this whole journey with Danielle just felt so unreal. It's so amazing, though. It's like, you can't write this.
Yeah.
From first time when I met Danielle, it felt like I knew her for years. And when I was leaving Lita Dome, when I left from out there, I wanted to take her with me. That's the best way to describe it. Like, I just wanted to, like, come, just come. So, yeah, it's amazing. It was, man. I can't even put it into words. It feels so, so real.
Well, Kason, I'm reading in your bio that when you went to Leader Dog, that was your first time ever flying with your blindness. What was that like for you? Because we've got a lot of clients that have never flown before until they go to Leader Dog. So what was it like for you?
Yeah, that was the moment of truth for me. I was real excited, a little nervous, but not scared. It was like a calming feeling, like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I never got on a plane before, but you know what? I picked the perfect time. I can do it blindfolded. So that's special to tell somebody. The first time I went on a plane, I couldn't even see it. I was blindfolded. So I was kind of happy about that. Like, you know what? I'm going to look at this as a journey for me. And you know what's on the other side? Something I don't know what it is, but it's something great. And I'm happy I did it. And I came back with Odyssey, my guide dog. And I got a chance to meet Danielle and my leader dog family.
And how is it going? You actually did kind of get to take Danielle home with you in the sense that Danielle came and provided some in-home follow-up support with another one of our fantastic GDMIs, mm-hmm. Jessica. So you kind of got the best of both worlds. You got to come on campus, of course, and have that support and then some follow-up in your home area. What was that like having Danielle and Jessica there in New York assisting you and your new guide dog?
Oh, Lita dog has spoiled me so much. Like, the bar is set so high. I got a chance to get on a flight to go out there, go to their town and their hood. Then they got the chance to come over here in my area and my hood, and it just felt so good to have that support. Like, starting this whole process, I didn't think it was going to be that personal and that, like, all right, we're coming with you, and feel great to have, like, a real team behind you. It's special. Leader Dog is special. Because that feeling to have, like, that training out there is great, but to have the training in New York here with these sidewalks, these blocks, these sounds, and still have that support, like, not to lose that support, is still there with you. It's a great feeling. I'm happy I did it.
I love that. So, Danielle, what was that like for you to go to New York and work with Kason and Odyssey out there?
Oh, man, it was so cool. I say this a million times a day, a million times a week. I just feel so lucky that I was able to have the privilege to kind of follow up in their home area. It's really special to see a client and the dog really just starting to work together in that third week of class. And then to kind of go home, I think it was about a month after class ended, to go home and see the progress that the team made on their own was amazing. You know, it's never going to be perfect, but to kind of see how they worked it out and they're starting to find their groove together as a team was really special.
So, Kason, what is next? You've got your guide dog with you. You guys are taking the town by storm. What's next for Kason?
Next in my world, you know what's so amazing about this whole thing? I went from in the beginning to think like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, or how can you do that? How can you do this? And now it's like, I feel like I can do anything. So it's like a little, like a pause, like a step back now. Cause it's like, I feel like my world opened up so much that I need to slow down a little bit to really now get a real look at what I really want to do. Because now we're out of sea. I want to do everything. I want to go here. Let me just go in this store just because I just want to see what's in there. Or I want to learn this. Or let me learn accounting. Let me learn a computer. It's like the world just feels like amazing right now. It's like with so much options, just so happy. Like, yes, I can. I can do it. I can do it. But one thing I really know I want to do is I want to help out, get a chance to speak or to even tell my story more or just to help other people out or direct them to services where they can get the help that I got. Because I didn't know it was like this deep of services that's out here and available for people like me or people who's not fully blind or anything that can use these services also. But it's just a lot I want to do.
That's amazing, Kaysen, and we are sure you're going to do some amazing things. What advice would you give to anyone who is just going through that journey, who may just find out they are legally blind and don't know where to go or don't know what to do? What advice would you give them?
Advice I would give them is slow down. That is my advice. Just slow down. Because when this first happened, and I was in denial a little bit, but also I wanted to just move fast. Like, I wasn't taking my time. It wasn't, you know, you don't want to be blind, so you just want to move fast. Like, no, I can still do it. I can still do it. I don't need no help. You just want to go. And sometimes you have to just calm down. Don't get angry. You can get frustrated, but just take your time. And don't worry about the results right away. What's happening right in front of you, it's happening right now, but 6 months from now, it's going to be different. A year from now, it's going to be different. 6 months after that, it's going to be different. And you're going to turn back and like, wow, I do that. And you're someplace that you thought you'd never be. So that's my advice.
I think that is fantastic. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us and for all the hard work that you've put into this too. And for wanting to share your experience. The number one thing that we always tell people, our clients, especially when they ask like, what can I do, is be a LeaderDog ambassador, share your story with other people, share your experience, tell people about LeaderDogs for the Blind. So many times when we're out talking, there's always somebody that could benefit from our services. So you being out there and being a spokesperson is greatly appreciated. Word of mouth is our number one referral for clients. And so we greatly appreciate that. And again, thank you for sharing your story and being with us here today. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I appreciate this. This is amazing. And also shout out to Jessica.
Yes.
You didn't say nothing about Jessica. I'm so sorry. Yeah, shout out to Jessica.
Absolutely. Jessica is fantastic. I know we've talked about Jessica on the podcast before too, because she is out there she's in the field doing deliveries and application videos and so many things. And we are so appreciative of her as well. And thank you, Danielle, for one, just being the initial contact and taking that risk and reaching out and sharing what LeaderDog has to offer. We probably all wouldn't be having this podcast together if it wasn't for that. So thank you and good luck as you continue on as a guide dog mobility instructor apprentice. It's fantastic and you're already exceeding.
Thank you so much. I just feel, again, very lucky to be in this position and with such an amazing organization that really puts clients first. So very thankful.
Absolutely. And thank you so much to our listeners for listening to the Taking the Lead podcast. I'm Leslie Hoskins with host Christina Heppner and Timothy Cunio. We hope you enjoyed hearing Kaysen's story and the role Danielle played. Please join us next time as we continue to dive into the world of blindness.
And if you'd like to learn more about applying to our free services at LeaderDog, you can head to leaderdog.org or call us at 888-777-5332. And don't forget, you can reach us at takingthelead@leaderdog.org with any questions or ideas. If you like today's podcast, make sure to hit subscribe and check us out wherever podcasts stream.